Judging by the weather, you'd say it's high time for weddings, and it is here at Holy Name of Jesus. We've had quite a busy fall and many, many weddings. I just had a couple that was married here yesterday. And I kind of wondered to myself as I was coming into the weekend preparing to preach these very rich readings that speak about hope and perseverance and hope even against the challenges that may come. And I thought to myself, why is it that the couple being married yesterday did not choose this wonderful gospel? Maybe it's because they didn't have seven siblings who could rise up after their death to take their place and to continue raising up children. I don't think it's that way after all. I think it's because the reading is not so much about marriage as it is about the resurrection and about hope. Yes, Jesus is revealing something important, and the church does teach it. If you're sitting next to your spouse, grab a hold of their hand and say, "I will love you forever." I'm listening. All right. But forever has an ending point. I don't know if you remember that on your marriage day. If you've already lost your spouse, you know that ending point, not because your spouse, your loved one, will not in a very real way be one that you will rejoice with in the presence of God, but because marriage has an ending point. Marriage is in this life. And when Jesus speaks about marriage in the life to come, he says it's not like it is here. Marriage has a purpose and a point here below, but marriage is not forever in that sense. There is a way in which the life to come, the life of heaven, will be something very new and something very beautiful, because we will be united not through marriage vows, but we will be united as the saints and angels in praise of our God. So I don't want to go down as the priest that kind of said love forever is far-fetched, but I do want to just remind us that Jesus, when he speaks about the resurrection in this gospel, he's not only speaking about marriage, he's speaking and giving a glimpse of what it is that we put our hope in. Now, the couple that was married and the other couples that have been married, they always choose readings. If there's any couples out there engaged or soon to be engaged, thinking of engagement, think about choosing readings very carefully, because readings are prophetic in a way like these readings that are inscribed over the side walls. They're going to be inscribed over the lives that the couple will live together in their family and in their marriage. I think today's readings are those sort of readings, those sort of prophetic readings that are given to us today where we find ourselves, whatever our hopes are, whatever our dreams are, whatever our fears are. And yes, although we hope to be not afraid, there is so much in our world that would crowd in and that would rob us of the peace which Jesus died to secure for us, the peace that we would know his mercy and we would have hope which is alive even in the face of great difficulty. I'd like to take another prophetic reading. We didn't hear it in the scriptures today, but I think it sheds light upon our readings. In a way, it's the first encyclical ever written. This goes back way, way back to the first pope, to St. Peter himself, as he wrote to the church spread throughout the Mediterranean world. And he wrote to give encouragement in the face of great tribulation, great difficulty, great fear that was on the rise. And listen to what he said. This is our first pope. And I think Pope Francis in our day and all the popes between Peter and Francis have had this constant message to build up hope. In fact, Jesus himself said to Peter that he would be called to strengthen the faith of his brothers. That is the great mission of the papacy down through the ages, and it continues in our day, because at times we truly are afraid. We truly forget the hope in which we can place our lives. Listen to what Peter said. He said, "By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, which is kept in heaven for you by God's power, who are guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." And before you throw up your hands and say, that was a run-on sentence, I admit it was a run-on sentence, and he had a lot to say, but he said it so clearly that living hope must be based, if it's to be living, if it's to be real and authentic Christian hope, the only source, the only ground for true hope that can stand up, against the fears that press in upon us is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not his alone, but our share as Christians in that resurrection. We have two little ones over here. I think the second one made it in. And we have these two little ones, Beckett and Owen, and they are going to have a share in the Lord's cross, but also in his resurrection. They will receive the theological virtue of hope. We hope it doesn't stop growing there. We hope it's just the beginning. But in a beautiful way, the living hope is based through this baptismal font in the gift of Christ's resurrection. When he says, not only did I rise on the third day from the dead, but I will raise these little ones up. I will raise each and every one who put their hope and faith in me. And Peter went on to say that that hope is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are guarded through faith for salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. My brothers and sisters, we live in the last times, but so did the Christians of the first century. So in a way did the brothers, those seven brothers faced with death or denial of their faith in the second book of the Maccabees. Especially with the coming of Christ, Jesus ushered in the last times. And whether it's today or tomorrow or who knows when, Jesus himself says, no one but the Father knows the hour. But there is a real and true sense in which Jesus wants today. Peter wants today. Pope Francis wants today. These readings are given to us to strengthen our hope for salvation. Because you see, in the midst of a world that does say, be afraid of this and be afraid of that, be very, very afraid, be very, very fearful. We don't even need to go searching for reasons to be afraid. They're all around us as we wonder about our world, which is literally coming unraveled, which is turning so far away from the Lord and his will and his commandments. And yet, it is the hope of the resurrection, which is the only secure basis of hope, which is being kept in heaven for you and for me. I'd love to look at that opening prayer we prayed in the beginning of the Mass, because it's not entirely true. We ask that the Lord would graciously keep us from all adversity. Do we want to be kept from all adversity? We want to be kept from all adversity. But let me just pose this as a suggestion, that it is in fact adversity which stirs up hope in our lives. Does comfort lead to hope? Does security lead to hope? Does self-confidence and self-sufficiency lead to hope? All of these things perhaps lead to human hope. They lead to natural hope, but they do not lead to supernatural hope, to hope in God and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, there is a great truth, and it's hard for us to know it, hard for us to acknowledge it. There is a truth that it is precisely adversity, which we just prayed that God would keep far from us, that can and will and does bring about growth in hope. Adversity, if it's born with Jesus Christ, leads to hope. And my brothers and sisters, I would say we don't have to go in search of adversity. I think it comes upon us wave after wave, both out in the world, but also in our own families, our own lives, through the difficulties that we come up against each and every day. There is a new genre of literature that was given rise to in the 20th century. And I would say that literature is part of this genre of literature that we heard in the first reading from the book of the Maccabees. Viktor Frankl would be a great example of that genre of literature. Alexander Solzhenitsyn would be another example of that literature. There are many, many reflections of those who suffered through the gulags in Russia, the totalitarian regimes, the hands of the Nazis. There were all sorts of experiences, human hearts like Viktor Frankl's, Alexander Solzhenitsyn's. There's many, many, many that we will never know, some who never were able to tell their story. But you see the great adversity of the 20th century, the great suffering and misery of so many innocent lives that were lost, because they were not understood and acknowledged to have dignity of children of God. There was a great literature, and even greater than the literature that they wrote, there was a great class of men and women who had suffered greatly and yet had triumphed by their hope. Viktor Frankl said so beautifully in his very rich book, best-selling book. It sold hundreds and hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of copies to this day, Man's Search for Meaning. And he said, between the stimulus of what we experience and our response lies the greatest power of the human being, the ability of a human being faced with the impossible, faced with debilitating sickness, a terminal illness, faced with unanticipated betrayal or loss of a spouse or a friend, faced with a natural disaster. My heart in these days has been going out to Italy, racked again just recently in these last weeks with enormous devastation by the earthquakes that have struck in central Italy. Whether it's being racked by terror in our nation or overseas or even in our own neighborhoods, whether it's outright persecution, which certainly we hear of in that first reading from their scriptures, but continues in our own day because we live in an age of martyrs. I would say in the midst of all of that, Viktor Frankl, who himself lived through profound suffering, understood that there was a great human capacity and potential, a great freedom to choose hope in the midst of whatever would seek to rob our hope. Because hope, as Viktor Frankl so clearly laid out in that book, is rooted in finding purpose in suffering. Because if we find purpose, if we find and discover the purpose which Jesus Christ himself revealed on his path to the cross, step by step, falling three times and yet getting up again to carry the cross to Calvary, we read in the scripture that it was for the joy that was set before him. It was for the salvation that he wanted to win for you and for me. It was for the redemption that he came to bring, that Christ endured the cross and despised not its shame. The question of today is not what's going to happen on Tuesday and beyond. I would suggest, and it may be controversial to say it, that the greater thing at stake in our nation is not the election, is not even the presidential race. The great thing at stake in our nation is whether, as Christians, we can be people of true and living supernatural hope. Come what may, we're going to hear even next week of the end of the world as we know it. We're going to hear 2 weeks from now as we conclude our series, I Am Not Afraid, of the end of Jesus' earthly life on the cross as he promised a gift of salvation to an unexpected recipient, to a thief who was there beside him on the cross. My brothers and sisters, if we can hope for salvation, if we can allow the Lord to keep our hope alive that is kept in heaven for us and guarded through faith for our salvation, I believe that our world, our nation can be strengthened, can be protected, can be guided forward. Let us allow the Lord to give us today a strengthened hope. This is what we truly need, to live for him. Because as Jesus said so confoundingly to the Sadducees that came to find him in fault, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Today, let us allow our lives to be an expression of gratitude for all we have received in the redemption wrought for us in Christ Jesus. As we're inspired by the example of the brothers Maccabees, as we're inspired by those who continue even in our own day, even today, who suffer because they will not reject Jesus Christ, even in the face of death, we place our faith with the faith and the hope of the martyrs to acknowledge that God is preparing, as he's preparing and shortly after Mass, to baptize these two little ones and give them a share in his resurrection. My brothers and sisters, God is the God of the living, not the dead. Today, let us strengthen our hope. Let us place our hope and confidence in no thing here below, but in God alone is our confidence, our strength, and our salvation.